Every Thursday night, you ask the questions, DT gives you his answers. No holds barred.
It's Q&A with Don Tony. This is your chance to speak your mind and be heard about anything.
Q&A with Don Tony. And now, your host, Don Tony.
I have to get off my lazy ass and change that intro ASAP. What the hell was I thinking in those early days? I know having the shirt buttoned open all the way down to my belly button was a joke that night. But my God, you know, a friend of mine who did some of the intros here to help, you know, give us a nice little jolt with the shows, that's what he chose. I mean, I didn't think much of it early on, but oh man, that's awful. Sunglasses, God awful. Today's show will not be awful. This is your Q&A mailbag. I am Don Tony. I want to thank you as always for sending in quick questions, comments. And, you know, if you want to ever be part of these mailbags, very easy to do. You can either email me, DonTony at DonTony.com, very easy to remember, or every mailbag, about a week before, I post a thread in a community section on YouTube that is open for everyone, and you can post your question there as well. We do these mailbags every 2 weeks, but over the last couple of weeks, because of a lot of news with the Vince McMahon stuff and Mercedes Moné and a WWE sale and all the fake news, and now we have Raw 30 coming up and the Royal Rumble, you know, sometimes we get a little bit extra questions. So we're going to get into a small amount today. Remember, I'm always going to keep these short and tight. And once again, if you're going to send multiple questions, and when I say that, I mean like more than three, keep it in rapid fire format, because this way we don't have to carry over some of your questions to a future show. I have at least three people out there who have sent me more than 10 questions at a time. If you want a private one-on-one, or, you know, individual show, you know, maybe I can oblige once in a while, but, you know, we can't spend 20 minutes on one person. So we spread it out as much as we can. Some of you out there, you're going to have to wait for the next show. But let's get into these and let's get into them as quickly as we can. Maggie Lusk, does WWE have any kind of viable future as a wrestling company after a sale, regardless to who they sell it to? Yes. If somebody like Comcast or a TV production network buys it, you know, they might be the financial influx, you know, as far as, you know, handling the behind the scenes and, you know, trying to keep the bottom line. I think if they let wrestling minds and wrestling personalities, and hey, who knows, you know, I know a lot of people don't want to see Vince McMahon in power anymore, but yeah, without Vince McMahon in power right now, WWE probably would not exist. So it's a double-edged sword, but you know, if they keep Triple H on board, Stephanie, you know, whether you like it or not, Kevin Dunn and Bruce Pritchard and others are very, very important. Maybe they bring on some veteran wrestlers with some unbelievable mindsets. The only problem is if you don't produce, you know, you're not going to have that deep wrestling tie as far as management goes. And if they want to cut, you know, high profile, big payroll names, you know, they can do it. You know, so you got to remember, you know, AOL Time Warner, they were just looking at the bottom line. They didn't look at it like, okay, let's cut this major overhead and let's streamline it and let's do this and let's do it. They didn't want wrestling on the Turner networks, period. So with WWE, if a new owner picks it up, you know, if they trust the wrestling personalities, the wrestling people to run it, I think WWE will still be in a good place. Look, got to look at it like this. When Vince does pass on, what happens if Stephanie does not want to be part of WWE? I know that sounds almost insane, but what if she doesn't want to come back? What if Triple H, you know, look, we're not trying to be morbid here. The guy was on his deathbed. You know, what happens if integral parts of WWE do not want to be part of WWE in the future? So you're almost in the same situation. I'm very concerned. I'm very concerned about WWE's future, even if Comcast buys it. Comcast, out of everybody who's been rumored to be interested, Comcast is the one that I would be the happiest with. But without that intimate connection to pro wrestling, yeah, this could go downward in a spiral a lot quicker than people realize. Believe me when I tell you, I've been a wrestling fan since 79, and if you would have told me, no matter how bad WCW started to get in 2000, if you would have told me in 2000 that the following year they'd be out of business, I would have said, you're nuts. I would have said, you're absolutely nuts. And it went out of business, just like that. ECW, we saw the writing on the wall. We knew about the financial problems. And, you know, as they said, they were a small company that got too big, or they became a big company that was, I don't know, too small. To me, it was a small company that got too big. They couldn't handle the overhead and the expenses. And not having the negotiating power that some companies had at the time, WWE, you know, even outside of wrestling, you know, you need leverage, you need power. And that's probably the biggest reason why Vince is back more than anything else. You know, whether you like it or not, USA Network, Fox, NBC Universal, Saudi Arabia, when they all negotiate new deals, media rights, whatever it is, they want to deal with Vince, period. They're used to dealing with Vince. They want him. I know we find it hard to believe, but yeah, that is their world, everyone. So thank you, Maggie, for that. Mark Hicks II, what did I think of the billionaire Ted skits from 1996? I loved them. I thought they were freaking hilarious. I mean, I still to this day don't know who they chose to play billionaire Ted, but that, I mean, that was just awesome what they were doing at the time. I mean, it was just the Ed the Nacho Man and the Huckster and Scheme Gene. I never felt like Ted Turner was extremely irate about it. I mean, Ted Turner wanted to capitalize the wrestling world. You know, I don't think he had this. Put it this way, I think Ted Turner liked Vince a lot more than Tony Khan does. And I don't think Tony Khan likes Vince at all. So I always felt that, you know, of course they were mocking the ages. But, you know, when you think about it as well, yeah, I don't want to reveal it here. Just do a Google search and see how old Hulk Hogan was in 1996. How old was Macho Man? They're not as old as you think that they are. It's just that the egos, the extreme salaries, you know, the political power that, you know, a lot of people wanted. Maybe not so much Macho Man, but yeah, this was a mock of Turner and, you know, those major players, the big boys. I thought they were hilarious. I mean, the WrestleMania payoff was awful, but as far as the skits go, I thought they were fun. I thought they were entertaining as fuck. The Billionaire Ted skits, yes. Wrestling Bios did a very good piece on them, so if you want to go check it out, a whole lot of fun. Thank you, Mark. Run DMG. Have I ever seen Titus Alexander wrestle? And if yes, is he ready for NXT TV? Yes, I've seen him wrestle. Now, you said he's a second-generation wrestler. Let me know who. I mean, he's obviously not a second-generation wrestler for Cedric Alexander, but, you know, I did a little quick research. I really couldn't find anything. If he's just the son of a former wrestler, you know, that wasn't famous, I mean, you know, there's probably tens of thousands of second-generation wrestlers out there. I don't think it's anybody famous, but, yeah, I mean, we've seen him in Impact, and I was looking at some of his resume earlier, and, my God, you know, I don't care how big or how small an indie wrestling company is, you advertise Titus Alexander versus Will Ospreay, yeah, you kind of have a feeling or you know that you got somebody talented there. I've seen him do a little bit of work. Yeah, he definitely could be NXT ready. I still think he's young. You know, he's 22, and yes, it's not too young to be in NXT, but you know what? He's doing good right now. He's getting his footprint out there. He's getting bigger and bigger matches as he goes along. Let him season for maybe another 6 months to a year, and I could see WWE considering him coming in. Now, let's also remember, you know, just because you're an indie wrestler doesn't mean you want that WWE schedule. So it's, we don't know if Titus Alexander wants to be in WWE. You know, most people do, especially if they want to make this a career and maximize their, you know, potential, money, power, success, high profile. But, you know, not everybody wants that schedule. So, but yeah, I could see him. Absolutely could see him doing something in NXT down the line, without a doubt. Thank you for the question. All right. Roderick Howard. He's got three here. First off, he thinks Raquel Rodriguez could be a dark horse winner at the Royal Rumble. I think before her WWE career is over, Raquel Rodriguez could very well win a Royal Rumble. I don't think it's this year, though. It is so much focus around the Royal Rumble this year and WrestleMania being Hollywood. I think that, you know, I hope people don't get offended by this. That might be too grand a stage for Raquel Rodriguez right now. Next year, 2024, yeah, good possibility. Not out of the question. I think this year might be rushing it a little bit. You know, I remember all the momentum that Liv Morgan had going into the Money in the Bank match. And when she won, everybody, you know, for the most part, was very, very happy, loved it. You know, she worked her ass off to get where she was. Unfortunately, her title reign was, in a lot of people's eyes, disappointing. I've always said it. Liv Morgan's stock is much higher now than what it was a year ago. Raquel Rodriguez, no need to rush. They have major names. Look at Bianca Belair. You know, it was about 2-3 years ago that a lot of us felt, don't rush Bianca Belair. And the first run that she had, looking back on it, might have been a little bit rushed. Now she's got it. She's got it. She's established herself as arguably top three in WWE. All right, who are my candidates for male and female breakout stars of 2023? You know, it's so hard because we're only in January, and some stars are going to be called up from NXT. You don't know if AEW is finally going to put the Jets behind someone that they haven't. You know, I would love to say Ricky Starks, but you know, I'm not confident 3 months from now what he's going to be doing. Austin Theory feels like an obvious choice. But I think once we get to like March, April, or right after WrestleMania, I think we should wait till the end of April, because WrestleMania would have come and gone. Then we could see, you know, like who's called up from the main roster. We could get a better idea of where AEW is going in 2023 with young stars. I think that would be a better way to put it, because right now we could come up with names, especially on the AEW side, that have every reason to be a breakout star. They don't get the TV time. You know, we're just pissing in the wind. So, and last, if The Undertaker had not taken time off in 94, who do I think or wanted to be Taker's opponent at WrestleMania 10, I would have been fine with somebody like Yoko. Believe it or not, I know what happened with the casket match, the afterwards, you know, with him ascending. It was just awkward. I mean, I tried to think back to my honest reaction and feeling when I was watching that. And I don't know. It was just awkward. It was just weird. I mean, it's just corny, and I don't mean cornet. It was just hokey. So, but you know what? I thought Taker and Yoko could have had a little bit of a longer feud, and WrestleMania was not that long after the Royal Rumble. So, you know, look, you look at different years. I think 1994, even if Yoko would have feuded with The Undertaker a year earlier, I think that would have been a fun go-to match at the time for The Undertaker. It could have feuded with Yoko in 93, 94, 95. I think that would have been a nice go-to match at the time. Hey, before you criticize that, everyone, just go look at the WWF roster in 1994. You know, you don't have as big of a selection as you think. You know, there are a couple of, you know, names that I would have been interested in, but, you know, just remember the Undertaker style. So you don't want to get a uber polished pro wrestler like a Backlund or someone else. You know, even, you know, Brett, you know, visited, they already visited that, you know, back then, maybe, but you got to go back at that time period. So thank you for those. Kevin Milwaukee, inquiring minds want to know, DT, did I happen to get back the wedding footage from when I took the nasty fall, courtesy of the fog machine? No, I haven't gotten it yet. All I have received so far is a 10-minute highlight video. Believe it or not, we still have not even picked our photos for our albums. This week, I'm supposed to see the photographer, pick up a thumbnail drive with like 2,000 photos on it. And then I'm going to give one to her family, my family, and then we're going to sit down and pick our pictures. And right now, he's producing the whole video. You know, no rush. But, yeah, at some point this year, I will get that footage. And, yeah, I will share it. I mean, it supposedly was caught on video. That was not fun. People that don't know what I'm talking about, I fell on my wedding night. And I took a spill that the venue thought I was going to sue them. They were extremely, extremely nervous. I took a major dive. I put it this way. I had a knot on my hip for about 3 months. It felt like, you know, the jawbreakers, those big jawbreakers that you could buy? Not the little ones, but the ones the size of maybe like double the size of a testicle. You know, just imagine that like inside your skin. You would lay on your side and you felt like you were laying on a rock. And that was for about 3 months. So, but. Yeah, no, I'll share the footage when I get it. I don't mind laughing at myself once in a while. Gary Vaughn, hypothetically, a coffee distributor or a store, offers me. And by the way, not to stop the question, you know, a place in Florida was naming a lunch meal after yours truly. I have not emailed them since they asked me, like, what would be my sandwich. I got to drop them an email this week and find out if it ever did make the menu. I have a feeling that it didn't. Because if it would have made the menu, I would have thought they probably would have sent me a copy of the menu so I could at least piss off the haters out there and just every so often show it to everyone. But I'm going to find out. I am going to find out. Hypothetically, a coffee distributor or store offers yours truly a branded coffee to me. What flavor, what type would I create? So basically coffee, like a Don Tony coffee. Believe it or not, I used to be into espresso and cappuccinos, hardcore. Back in the day, espresso, a little Zambuca, a little bit of lemon wedge. I'm talking about like late 80s, early 90s when I used to hang out with my friends and we would drink Remy Martin and you always have to like, I know this is, oh look, speaking of the 90s, look, Cool Water. Who remembers wearing Cool Water in the 80s and the 90s? I got the deodorant. Oh, it smells so good. I'm not kidding. But yeah, we would drink like cognac and you always have to have your pinky up. When you take the shot, I used to drink so much espresso back then. Then, I don't know, I fell out of favor with it. Just didn't like it anymore. To me, it was just uber bitter. Now, lately, from Christmas on, I've been really learning about, you know, there is a science and a skill behind making really good coffee, whether it's just, you know, straight up coffee, espresso, cappuccinos, lattes, pour overs. Pour over is my favorite. But I will tell you, lately, I have been really enjoying a nice, light roasted coffee. Anything that does not taste like wood. You know, I learned my lesson that you buy a coffee and it says notes of chocolate, bullshit, tastes like wood. Notes of caramel, bullshit, tastes like wood. Notes of it, no. No, you got to get the ones like fruity flavors. And I know some people are like, oh, that's soft. No, you'd be surprised what's out there. I just had a coffee from Volcano, I think it's called. Volcano might be the coffee company. And they had one that had notes of, get this, it's like the Fruit Stripes gum and Fruit Loops, cantaloupe, honeydew. I drank it. It tasted nothing like that. I can't picture somebody taking a sip of that coffee like, yeah, I taste Fruit Loops. But all I know is that shit was smooth. Smooth. I sound like Mr. Furley. Remember Mr. Furley? Smooth. So it would be a light roast and something that did not taste like wood. That's what I would have. The Don. Definitely would love. I would love to have some Don Tony coffee. We might have to look into that. If we could get some like custom K-cups made up and stuff like that. Shit. Look. We got custom Don Tony Coca-Cola. And for your fatties out there like me, the custom Don Tony Diet Cola. We got Don Tony shit everywhere. All right. Havili, I had to break up your questions literally on the next two shows. But I'm going to get into a few of them for now. Can I see at WrestleMania within a few years a fatal four-way between the Four Horsewomen for the Undisputed WWE Women Championships? And he means Bianca, Sasha, Bayley, Charlotte. Absolutely. I think before those women retire, we will have a four-way. Absolutely. On the main roster for a major championship, we will see that. I really believe it. It's almost a guarantee. I know right now Sasha is not there, but you know, down the line, she'll return. If The Rock does not wrestle Roman Reigns at WrestleMania this year, could we see him be inducted in the Hall of Fame? Yes, absolutely. Without a doubt. I personally think The Rock should go into Hall of Fame this year. Hollywood? Why not? I mean, a match does not have to be tied to it. And I know there's still all the rumors about him wrestling at WrestleMania. I'm not sure if it's even needed. You know, of course, if you're going to do Rocket Mania, you should do it in Hollywood. It writes itself. But yeah, I think The Rock should go into WWE Hall of Fame this year. You know, the Hall of Fame is going to take place at SmackDown. It's not going to be a venue. So, you know, keep that in mind. So WWE seems to be downgrading the amount of work that they put in the Hall of Fame ceremonies. And yes, COVID was the spark that led to that. But sure, I could absolutely see The Rock in the Hall of Fame this year. All right, you also said for the Judgment Day at WrestleMania, which is the more likely scenario? I have to choose one of two. Scenario one, Rey versus Dominic. And a six-person tag team match with Finn Balor, Damian Priest, and Rhea Ripley versus Edge, Beth Phoenix, and a mystery partner. Those are the two matches. That's Proposal A. Or Proposal B, an eight-person tag. The Judgment Day versus Edge, Beth Phoenix, Rey Mysterio, and a mystery partner. If I was forced to choose one of the two, I would choose scenario one. Rey Mysterio versus Dominic has to happen. It's going to happen. I mean, barring an injury to one of them, that's happening at WrestleMania. And you know what? Even though I don't think we'll see a six-person intergender match at WrestleMania, I think a combination of that is very possible. I think Edge and Beth Phoenix versus Finn Balor and Rhea Ripley is an absolute possibility for WrestleMania. Definitely not a bad idea. So thank you for those, Havili. All right, Dominic McGlynn. What song do I puts me in a good mood when I'm in a bad mood? I can't think of any. I will tell you that many songs put me in a bad mood. You know, I don't put it this way. Like I watch nostalgia and it puts a smile on my face. You know, things like that. But as far as individual songs, like, you know, when I used to work out, you know, believe it or not, I know this sounds ridiculously like Jersey Shore stupid, but it's not a joke. Back in the 80s and even in the 90s, we would do two things with music. The two songs that come to mind immediately, and I guarantee you some of you motherfuckers out there won't admit to it, but you definitely did it as well, especially if you're my age. Scenario one, you're working out, whether you're in a gym or you're in your house. And you have music on and you throw on the theme for Rocky II. Gonna fly now. It's got to be from Rocky II because it is a little bit different from Rocky I. Some of the instruments are different. People used to get so psyched and pumped up and you hear that song. And my God, I remember sometimes hanging out with my friends. We would be working out and he'd throw on the theme, Gonna Fly Now. And holy shit, you know, it just psyched you up that you just, even if you were exhausted. The second one that I remember clear as day, when Phil Collins first came out with the song In the Air Tonight, you know, we always associated with the episode of Miami Vice, the pilot. when Crockett and Tubbs are in the car, and Crockett stops and calls his ex-wife, and then they go back on the highway, and you see like the camera view from the tire, and they're playing that song, and it's late at night, and they're speeding down the highway with the Ferrari, right? And you know, it's just and because it's hot out, you see me and my friends. I can't tell you how many times late at night we would be coming home from a club or something, and my friend Joey especially would always do it. At some point, we would be on the highway, we'd be almost dead, and it'd be like, especially in the Long Island Expressway, if anybody knows Long Island Expressway, around maybe exit 41, which is around Hicksville, there is a stretch for about three or four exits that's just straight. And I remember my friend Joey, he would throw on In the Air Tonight and try to like mimic Miami Vice, fucking go down the highway 120 miles an hour. And you would get so pumped. That's why when I did that mashup of In the Air Tonight and Biz Markie, you know, I'm sure some of you have heard, I played it on my Patreon a few times already. I actually have a record. No joke. No joke. I have it in my collection. I will show you. It was a white label, but, you know, I have my friends who had a little record company here. I did a mashup back, say, what, 1987, 88, and I took Nobody Beats the Biz from Biz Markie. I took that beat, and I mixed it with In the Air Tonight. And at that time, people were like, that's fucking amazing. You know, maybe on an upcoming episode of The Sit Down, if anybody requests it, no, I'm kidding. If anybody really wants to, I mean, you know, we don't want just one request, but if a bunch of you out there request it, you know, I don't have to put ads on. I could play it on the show. In fact, I don't even know if I would get hit with copyright because they're mashed together. So even if the algorithm tries to pick up the song, you know, I don't even think it would be able to strike it, believe it or not. So, you know, maybe I could do a test. But then again, maybe none of you want to hear it. So, but, you know, many songs put me in a bad mood. Wham! And some of the others. My God, I used to love Van Halen. But that song, Jump, back in 1984, they played it so many times on the radio, I got angry. I get angry. I'm like, no. Because that's what they do. Every half hour, they would play the same songs. You know, I know this much is true. Oh, you have no idea what it was like to listen to music hours and hours and hours and hours and hours a day on the radio, and they play the same goddamn music over and over. New Edition, cool it now, you gotta cool it now. Ooh, watch out, you're gonna lose their girl. The fact that I still have that memorized, it's not because I was a fan, everyone, because that mother, they brainwashed me with that shit. They brainwashed me. We're going to giddy up. Suck my titty cups. Okay, let's move on. Now you get me in a bad mood, Dominic. Crazy Cruiserweight. Eat, save, burn. Chicken tenders, chicken nuggets, chicken wings. Burn the chicken wings. I am not that big of a fan of chicken wings. I know some people might find that surprising. Boneless wings, I'll eat all day. Regular chicken wings, I don't know. I just, you know, to me it's a little morbid, especially the flats, and you pull between the bones to get the meat. I don't know. And then there's always that little vein that sticks there. All right, I would eat chicken nuggets. And I would save chicken tenders. Chicken nuggets, McDonald's, they're not as good as they used to because they changed the oil. But, yeah. All-time least favorite baseball managers of the Mets. Believe it or not, I really don't have any. Probably Jeff Torborg. He's probably the only one. And Manuel. I can't remember his first name. But Jeff Torborg I didn't like. I thought I was going to like him because he was the third base coach of the Yankees way back when. I still never forget it. He did like a commercial for a credit card while he was the Mets manager. And I could swear at that time, I'm never buying that credit card. I just didn't like him at all. But my favorite Mets manager of all time is Davey Johnson. And believe it or not, even though he was horrendous as a manager for the Mets, I loved Dallas Green. That motherfucker made me laugh. Every time he got into an argument, his face got redder than when Brock Lesnar gets mad. And, oh, he was hilarious. With WrestleMania being in Philly next year, can I see myself going to at least one night? Yes, I can. In fact, I'm probably going to talk to her about maybe making a weekend out of it. The problem is I like covering it. You know, covering the shows is very important. Going there live and doing a recap a day or two later, I think would be beyond exhausting. So, you know, it's not even close. If I'm forced to choose, do I cover it from my home or do I go in person? I go in person. But it's very expensive as well. I have crazy bills. Not unbelievable debt, but I do have debt. And you know, that is a large expense. And if I go, I'm not sitting in section 400. You know, either get really, really good seats or I don't go. But yeah, it's definitely a possibility. And for $1 million, where would I rather spend a whole night? A haunted hospital, a haunted mansion, or a haunted farm? I'd rather stay at a haunted mansion. Haunted farm, you know, you always got to worry about what animals are out there, you know, and unfortunately, animals, you can't like bullshit your way out of it. I always feel like with a human, if you get a confrontation, you might be able to talk your way out of a situation sometimes. Haunted hospital's too big. So if I start getting creeped the fuck out, you know, it's like the movie The Shining. The movie The Shining was, that building was so big. You know, it's like, you can't like get into, you know, it's a small house. You just like lock yourself in and, you know, whatever. So for me, a haunted mansion. Finally, due for 2 years, due for 10 years, due for 20 years. Work at a gas station, be a soccer referee, or be a surgeon. I would do soccer referee for 2 years. I ain't running back and forth. I don't give a shit. I don't care how good it is for health. I ain't running back and forth for all that long. Gas station I would do for 10 years. I would always be worried about working at a gas station because of crime. I see what goes on. But for 20 years, I would be a surgeon. Trying to help others. You know, there's all different types of surgeons out there. I probably would like to be an orthopedic surgeon. You know, I'm not into the gory stuff, but I am fascinated with a lot of surgery. You know, so yeah, that's what I would do. And thank you for those questions. All right. So we're bringing this home, everyone. Moving right along. Ronnie C., am I surprised at the news sources and podcasts blatantly lying to their audience? I thought the Sasha Banks stuff was crazy, but the WWE for sale reports were flat out ridiculous. Yeah, I'm not surprised at all. It just goes to show you how bad people have this obsession of standing out in a crowd. You know, I mean, now you're starting to hear a lot of buzz about Brock Lesnar in WrestleMania. I mean, I expect him to return this Monday on Raw, probably get involved, cause Bobby Lashley to lose the U.S. title opportunity against Austin Theory, not a lead to the Royal Rumble, but... You know, people like, oh, Brock and Austin, Brock and this, Brock and that, Brock and Gunther. And, you know, people are just writing anything just to get attention. And you know what? I think people are starting to get sick and tired of the fake news. I want to give a special shout out to everybody who is new to this channel, new to the shows, or maybe some of you out there that didn't even know that I was back. I never left. But people that are noticing that I always tell everything straight up. It's not the most successful formula. I mean, you know, you could throw catchy things out there and attract the crowd and bait them in, you know, and you hook them in and then you give them maybe 80% real news and a little 20% fake. So your real news kind of covers up the fact that you drew somebody in with bullshit. And it's just not my style. Never was, never will be. And yeah, I do sacrifice viewers, listeners, money. Big money I lose because of it. But you know what? I absolutely am honored and appreciative of everybody who stays loyal to me and does acknowledge and realize, even when we talk WWE business, WWE financial, WWE corporate, people tell me all the time, like, shit, I checked out Bischoff, I checked out this person, I checked out Cornette, I checked out, they said word for word what I had said a month earlier. And that's a compliment for me. That's a compliment for me. That's not, oh, I said it first. No, I am honored that, you know, my views are shared by some of the people that I absolutely, you know, respect or value or, you know, hold cred to. So, yeah, it doesn't surprise me. You know, it's the worst I've ever seen it. That I will tell you. All right. Noob. Who would likely face Charlotte for the SmackDown Women's title and Bianca for the Raw Women's title, WrestleMania 39? Your choices are Asuka, Alexa Bliss, Bayley, and Rhea Ripley. I do not see Bayley fighting for a championship at Mania. I don't see Alexa Bliss either. Alexa Bliss is getting her shot at the Royal Rumble, and then she will segue. I have a feeling Alexa Bliss is going to feud with Asuka. I get that weird feeling that that could be happening. Be really interesting, especially how Asuka returns, because we heard the rumors of Kana. You know, listen, she didn't start tweaking her makeup for nothing. I mean, sure, things could get scrapped, but, you know, for me, it comes down to Becky Lynch and Rhea Ripley for me. I think Rhea Ripley is better suited to win the Elimination Chamber. Becky Lynch, I think, is better suited to win the Rumble, but if you want to flip-flop them, I'm fine with that as well. I think Becky versus Charlotte and Rhea Ripley versus Bianca are your Mania matches. And look, if we get a surprise, I'm fine with it. You know, getting things wrong, I know this is going to sound ridiculous, but I really mean this wholeheartedly. Getting things wrong sometimes is fun. Doesn't hurt your credibility. When you're reporting news and you get it wrong, that's not fun, but, you know, predicting things as far as match results go, that's fun. Because if you get it wrong, that means you didn't expect that outcome. And believe me when I tell you, some of my favorite pay-per-views are the ones where I get tons of matches wrong because I see it a different way. And a lot of us, we make the mistake sometimes that we see a match based on how we would book it, not how WWE would book it or AEW book it or someone else. So, all right. Thank you, Noob, for that. Pit Viper, in my opinion, putting in-ring performance aside, who is the most charismatic wrestler? I could choose old school or new generation. Believe it or not, I know it may sound like a cop-out, but for me, it's probably The Rock. You know, I know after decades of seeing him on TV, Hollywood, now, you don't have that same vibe, the same aura, the same newness. But believe me when I tell you, even when he started turning heel in the Nation of Domination, when he would just go to the Fed, shut up. And then he would talk in the third person early on. The Rock says this. I mean, and then when he turned babyface and just really with the promos and he's mocking Kane and he's mocking the NWO. Ooh, yay. And he's mocking Hogan. Oh, God. Doing the Charleston. I can reveal something now starting this Tuesday. We're going to repost the history shows. I boosted the audio quality a little bit, took out the old commercials, and I'm starting with episode 4 because we're in the fourth week of January. I mean, I will put the first 3 episodes up. These are reposts from years ago. But when I pulled up episode 4, what is the first thing that plays? The Rock making fun of Lana when he was insinuating that him and Lana were, you know, doing a nasty, and then, you know, Rusev shows up and Lana's like, we're engaged to be married. Oh, man. The Rock, I mean, he wasn't my absolute favorite, but there's too much. Even when he did that, the the people's elbow. What was it, the British Bulldog? When he had the shoes on and he just glided across the ring. There's just too much. To me, easily the most charismatic wrestler that I've ever seen. For that long. You know, you could have spurts of being the most charismatic, but overall in their career, Rock. That's who I would go with. All right. So what this means now, this is our last question. Let's see if it's a good one. Oh, Charlie. Oh, yeah, Charlie, I appreciate your emails. Sometimes I can't figure out if they're questions or just really like, you know, something crosses your mind, you just jot down a few words and it just continues for a paragraph. But I broke everything that you sent me down to three questions. First of all, the non-wrestling one, Yankee Stadium or Shea Stadium for me. As far as original Yankee Stadium, even though I loved going to Shea Stadium, Yankee Stadium just had an aura about it. Yes, it was not the original Yankee Stadium where Babe Ruth played because they refurbed it in the early 70s. But still, you know, my favorite memory going, you know, other than 2001, game five of the World Series or six? I don't remember. It's when Scott Brosius hit the home run against, I don't remember the pitcher, Diamondbacks pitcher's name. Japanese player, I can't remember his name, but something about Yankee Stadium. But outside of that memory, my father taking me in 1976 for a playoff game with the Royals, that was epic. I don't remember anything with the game. Don't remember nothing. All I know is that, you know, we left early. I think Chris Chambliss hit the home run and everybody raced on the field and we weren't there. We were on the highway, but it was okay. I was so young, I don't remember it. CM Punk's AEW status despite the injury. No one knows. My gut feeling is that he's done. Look, they were able to work with each other for a year, but CM Punk was seething throughout a lot of it. And you saw the EVPs pull political power. I will say this. If CM Punk returns, his injury is probably the biggest reason why. And I know some of you out there are going to say, DT, what are you talking about? If CM Punk was not injured, I would not have been surprised if CM Punk was at this year's Royal Rumble or this year's WrestleMania. I think CM Punk, because he could just show up anyway. He could have went to Japan. He could wrestle the next day anywhere he wants. I mean, once they settled the legal stuff out with AEW, maybe they worked out a deal where he can't wrestle for a year or two. I don't know. But what I'm saying is the injury forced him to be sidelined. And even when you have a falling out with someone, as time goes by, you know, things mellow down a little bit. You don't have that deep anger like you used to. I mean, even people that I've had issues with over the years, professionally and personally and on the podcast, you know, as time goes by, people are like, hey, why don't you do this? Or why don't you call this person? And even though you still don't, that deep, you know, bitter anger subsides. So CM Punk's probably not as mad now as he was before. But, you know, one thing you got to understand, the EVPs are not changing their ways. Tony Khan is not changing his ways. You know, some of the wrestlers who are their favorites in AEW, that foundation is not changing their ways. So if CM Punk were to return, he would have to adhere to their standards or he doesn't return at all. And the thing is that CM Punk truly was the voice of the voiceless for those in AEW that cannot speak out and complain, you know, especially when they're mid-card and they're just trying to keep whatever, you know, like extra money they're getting because they're in AEW or get any type of push whatsoever. Thankful for something. So my gut feeling is that CM Punk is done, but the injury may have forced things to, you know, calm down a little bit more. And who knows? Who knows? Maybe in the future they can work out something. And last but not least, what effect does Chris Benoit tragedy have on WWE and wrestling in general? Look, it's a dark spot in wrestling history. I think it opened up more conversation about steroids, about concussions. You know, that's really the only two topics that we can relate to it. You know, we always, you know, have heard things. And if you all have tuned into the night that we covered the Benoit tragedy in real time. That was just a wild episode. That's still up there. June 2007. We opened up the show paying tribute to Benoit. By the end of the show, we were spitting on him. I mean, we opened up the show thinking that he was murdered. And before the show was over, that's how long we were on the air. But the thing is that, you know, we had heard at that time that, you know, his relationship with Nancy was very, very sour. Nancy did not deserve to be murdered. But there's no secret that Nancy could push people's buttons and really piss them off. And I always, putting everything aside and just being blunt and honest, I always felt that Chris Benoit had an argument with Nancy that night and he snapped. You know, what the argument was about, I have no idea. Divorce was always threatened. Taking his kid away from him was always threatened. That's the scenario I always envisioned. But steroids, I truly believe, came into play. Concussions, I think, came into play. And I think it just, everything exploded. We'll never know. You know, there's no suicide note. From what I understand, there's no, you know, letter explaining everything. We'll never know the story. And like I said, I feel awful for people who knew him, cared about him, loved him, and were very good friends with him. Jericho and everyone else, I feel awful for them. Because imagine having a really, really close dear friend do something like that. And you know that your friend is not capable of that. And you just want to try to understand why. It's got to be concussions, like the Benoit family. It's got to be the concussion. It's got to be this. It's got to be brain damage. It's got to be that. Because we didn't raise, you know, Chris to do it. You see where I'm going with that? So we never will know why it happened. But it did make more aware about concussions and steroids and substance abuse. And through this tragedy, I think, you know, it had forced, you know, things to be cleaned up a lot more than what it was. And, you know, it's a messed up situation. I mean, it'll never get better. You know, I could never envision him going into a Wrestling Hall of Fame. I mean, that's ridiculous. You know, committing murders, you could blame it on whatever you want. Committing murders are committing murders. And to me, that is not forgivable. And you cannot say, look, it's like someone that's a good person their whole life. They're a good person their whole life. Stay out of trouble. They give to charity. They help, you know, people in need. They're caring. They look out for people. Just always been straight up, beautiful person. And then in their latter years, something happens and they commit horrible atrocities. You don't get credits. It's like when I teach defensive driver class in insurance, when you take defensive driver class, you get 4 points off your driving record. So if you have points on your license from speeding, whatever, you get up to 4 points removed from your license for taking the safety class. But if you have no points on your license, you don't get 4 credits that, oh, if I get a ticket tomorrow, I get 4 points already taken. No, you have to have the 4 points first. Then you could take the class, take points off. So you don't get extra credit because you were a good person all your life. And that's just the way it goes. Everyone, it's been real. Much love as always. We will definitely do the next mailbag in 2 weeks. We got the Royal Rumble coming up next week. And we'll see what that fallout is. I'm sure a lot of comments, questions, WrestleMania buzz. We'll see what progresses with the WWE sale rumors. And, you know, don't forget M&A. No one is talking about M&A. I think M&A might be a more likely scenario, you know, unless it's Comcast, something else. So we'll definitely post a thread in about a week to let people start posting their questions. Or you can email me anytime and I'll put them aside and we'll get into it on the next mailbag. So I hope you enjoyed it. Fun show as always, and I'll see you all soon. Be well.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who worked shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. Doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now? Now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.